still in our book. We are on page 37. Page 37 of our book. Okay, Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Okay, elect of God. Someone please read that.
In several of his letters, Paul deals first with doctrinal issues. After that, he rounds out the Christian confession with exhortations to godly living. Christians are an elect, chosen people, just as God chose the Israelites to be his people and marked them as his with a sign in the flesh. So he has chosen a new Israel whose circumcision is not with hands. Those choosing rest not on a fleshly birth, but on a new birth. He calls Jew and Gentile impartially with the gospel message. He unfolds those who obey him into the body of his people. Because he belongs to Christ, Paul exhorts Christ as the people he has made you to be. Christian living is not limited to ceremony, assemblies, and public praise of God. It spreads like yeast into little everyday matters, kindness, compassion, humility. Gentleness and patience are hallmarks of Christ, and those who know Christ, let those who will take up clubs, knives, and guns to advance their causes. Christians will conquer their enemies by making friends with them. They will overcome evil with good.
Okay, start right there. Okay, we see that we are the chosen one now. Are we on page 37? The elect of God. She read the first two paragraphs. Okay, we are chosen of God. Somebody give me an example of why we are here, why we are chosen. Nobody else can do it but us. Don't you know that nobody can pray but us? Nobody could spread the gospel but us. You know, you have some people who may think they could pray or whatever, you know, but God hears everybody's prayer, you know, but God expects us to be the praying people. God wants to hear some fervent, effectual, fervent prayers, and we are the people that he chose to do this. We are the people he chose to go ye therefore. Nobody else can go like us, can go because God told us to go. The Bible teaches, says, how can they hear unless somebody bring them the gospel? So he chose us to take it. He chose us, not just anybody. Because is that the case where the drug dealers could take the gospel? Are you with me? And that's what the church at Colossians had a problem with, that it's like anybody could have bring the gospel, you know, anybody could, you know, tell it how they felt like telling it, but that's not what God had wanted us to do. He wanted us to be, because we are the chosen, just like he chose the Jews to bring Christ forth. He didn't choose any other. He could have, but he didn't. The Jews, it was through the Jews, the Jewish blood, it was through the Jews, and how he had set that up, Christ was supposed to come. He didn't do it no other way but through the Jews. But now it's through Christians. But you have someone who's still saying it's, you know, the Jews, so forth and so on. But we ought to just be together in everything. You know, we spoke about syncretism. You heard about synchronizing swimming? You ever heard that? Mm-hmm. It's like they get into the water and they work together. You know, they do the same thing, you know, mm-hmm. Synchronize, the same thing, right? So the Christians at Colossae, right, they have wanted to synchronize your belief, and let's come together, get along to get along. you know? You know, let's just get along. You know, you give me yours, and I give you mine, they give me theirs, and we come together and we just agree, you know? And that was a syncretism. It was supposed to be like that, you know, because even though they did it like that, some did it like that, that wasn't the synchronizing that God would want us to, you know, he want us to be in. He want us to be one, with a one understanding, with one way, one understanding that it's the Lord, it's God, it's Jesus, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the church. You see, that's what he wanted us to know, and he wanted us to tell other folks. Okay, continue to read, sir.
Paul's thought passes on from individual piety to church. He urges his readers to maintain the unity of the body by loving one another. As a body, they are to offer their thanksgiving to God. As a body, they are to praise him. One may praise God in song when alone, but an assembly is required in order for believers to teach and admonish one another. Voices and words teach. Neither the aesthetics of music nor its potential for emotional expression are at the forefront of Paul's words. First, Christians teach and admonish musical instruments of many types were available in Paul's words. He made no mention of them. Christians are to sing with thankfulness. Their music, as all other elements of praise, is to be under the banner of his name and for his praise and glory.
Okay. In other words, it didn't say not to use instruments, but it told us how to, right? And since it told us how to, we ought to just what? Use that way. Since he said how to, we said we ought to sing with, you know, in our hearts, you know, make a joyful noise in our hearts unto the Lord. You know, but you have some people who it's something about that music, musical instruments will make you, it'll make you move, you know. I was at Jerry's house the other day. I wanted to dance, you know, that music he was, amen. But anyway, I can't dance no more. It's over. I can't handle walk, man.
I agree with what you're saying, bro. So I think that, as you were saying about the syncretism, that coming together is not always good with us, because some people, when they bring their beliefs of how to serve the Lord in the name of serving the Lord, is not in direct context with what the Lord's word is, and that's what causes problems. The same thing is what we are studying about Wednesday night Bible class, too, that it's good that we can get together and we worship in synchronism, as this Church of Christ is saying the same thing and worshiping the same way as the Church of Christ is in Hopewell, as the Church of Christ is in Moscow, or the Church of Christ is in Guam, or the Church of Christ is in some other part of the United States. We are synchronized that way in our worship and doing what the Lord says. But we don't take what another faith is putting out there as worship and worshiping God that way, because that is not what he said. And the same thing is because we don't, number one, don't use music. And some other denomination may use music to in a worship service. That's not what God said. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord by using your voice, mm-hmm. not musical instruments. And we don't do no praise dancing, even though when the Israelites were brought through the Red Sea, and they were rejoicing because of what God had did to save them. And they played the tambourines and they were dancing around and rejoicing. I think that's where some of those denominations get that from. They were praising God, but that was not a worship service. But some denomination used it in their worship service as a form of worship. That you have these young girls dancing all around with leotards and stuff and call that praise dancing. That is not what the Bible calls for is praising God. That is not a worship service. We have to be careful of being caught up in things because it's people say we all praising the same God, so this is okay. We have to praise God according to what He tells us to do and praise God, not just what we think is right and what we want to do or what feels good. Because some people go to church because of, like you said, the music will make you want to jump up and down, mm-hmm. or make you want to run around the church, or just make you want to move some sort of way. That's not in the worship service of praising God. They didn't do that in biblical times in their praise. And we don't do that. We're trying to stick to what the good church did. We don't do that also, but we have to know the difference. And we have to know what context things are saying.
That's right. That's true.
Okay, I have a question. Last sentence, in the second paragraph on page 37, mm-hmm. where it says their music as all elements of praise is to be under the banner of His name and for His praise and glory. Mm-hmm. Whose music? What are they talking about?
Okay, you probably got to read up a little before. It says that musical instruments of any type available wasn't, in other words, it didn't specify for us to do that.
Right, I did. I know mm-hmm. it said Paul didn't mention mm-hmm. music, and I just felt like it wasn't important.
Mm-hmm.
His importance was getting God's word out.
Yes, ma'am.
But because of this last sentence right here that I'm reading, it mm-hmm. said their music, who music as all other elements of praise mm-hmm. is to be under the banner of His name mm-hmm. and for His praise
right.
only. So is it saying, and I'm asking a question, and I'm asking this question, so to be better to answer someone when they're asking you about music, mm-hmm. you know, in the worship place.
Can I chip in with that?
Yes, you can.
We got music that we listen to every day on the radio. You got music that you can go into stores and buy, gospel music.
Right.
That we listen to. It makes us emotional.
Right.
Because some songs you hear will bring tears to your eyes to know the goodness of God and what they're singing about.
Right.
We give God praise because of that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not music that you're going to take and go to a juke joint and jump up and down with. It is not a music that will motivate you to jump up and run around, like I said, run around the church. You know what some people feel like? That's their praise. They're playing music, and somebody all of a sudden get up and just start running all around the church, and then they say that the Holy Spirit took hold of them and instructed them to do that. Some people will stand up right where they are and jump up and down while the music is playing, and saying that that's the Holy Spirit and it got them doing it and in the praise of the Lord. What this verse is, that understanding what this verse is saying, your music is supposed to be used in the praise of the Lord. When you sing a song of spiritual, as we sang songs even in our worship service, the songs that we sang by the song leader, we are worshiping God again in the worship service. But we're not doing all of that moving, gyrating, and everything in the praise of God. That's in a worship service. Mm-hmm. You see the difference between the two?
Yeah, I know that. I was just, you know, I know. But
you don't understand what music you're talking about?
Yeah, they're music. What? So are they talking about
okay.
the music and just singing, or the music and just the music and just singing, or okay. the instruments that they yeah. might have used, and not necessarily in the worship service,
okay.
but Wesley said, we do listen to gospel music.
Yeah, and it's going to be instruments in that music.
You know, instruments, so now I got confused.
Oh, Testament.
Oh, Let me hit it real quick. Okay, like you said, the old, see, what happened is, right, Judaism brought the Old Testament into, right,
mm-hmm.
and what Christ is saying is this. Turn with me to, would you please turn to Galatians, the third chapter. And read verse third, Galatians third chapter, read verse 22 through 26.
22 to what?
22 through 26. Galatians 3. Charlotte, sister, would you read it?
Oh, you want me to read it?
Yes, ma'am.
But the scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under God by the law, kept for the faith which will afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus.
Okay. It's telling us that, you know, we see the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. If you read Psalm 150, right? Let's go to 150. Somebody read 150. Psalm 150. Because if you bring that into the New Testament, we need a piano. We need a horn. We need a guitar and everything. Right? But when it came to the New Testament, we didn't see that. The only thing he said was for us to sing and make a melody in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see, that's what he told us to do. All right. Psalm 150. Someone read that.
Praise God in his temple. Mm-hmm. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Mm-hmm. Praise him for his strength. Mm-hmm. Praise him for his greatness. Mm-hmm. Praise him with trumpet blasts. You see? Praise him with harps and lyres.
Okay, start right there. You see, it's saying praise God, right? Praise God. Now it begins with the instruments. Mm-hmm. Okay. Before they was praising God, but now, you know, they're saying, you know, let's go all out and praise Him with the instruments now. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Praise Him with tambourines mm-hmm. and dancing. Mm-hmm. Praise Him with stringed instruments mm-hmm. and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with crashing cymbals. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. You see, that's Old Testament, right? And just like today, right? Just like right now, today, we could hear a song in a cappella, right? Yeah. Without instruments, right? And then if you add some music to it, it just some kind of how to make it sound, you know, clicky, more better, mm-hmm. you know, to some, mm-hmm. right? But some people just like a cappella. I remember a preacher, right? He preached a funeral, right? And he told, and the people was playing music with instruments, right? Mm-hmm. He said, turn it off. You know, that was heaven now, you know, but he said, turn it off. Mm-hmm. Right? Because some people just don't even want that no more. Some folks, right? But, you know, me, right? To tell you the truth, I still like Al Green. Yes, I do. You know, but that's not spiritual music, you know. But you know, it's something about the music that go along with it and makes it sound better. But Jesus is saying, right, even though we have music with spiritual songs, right, try it without instruments. Are you with me? This is what he's saying to me. Try it without instruments. I want you to hear the words. I don't want you to hear the instruments. Go ahead. You had your hand up.
Well, not really, but as we learned previously, mm-hmm. our instrument is our voice, mm-hmm. and it's coming from our heart, mm-hmm. and that should be the focus of our praise yes. to God. And just in this sentence of talking about their music, it's talking about the sentence before. Mm-hmm. Christians, whose music? Christians' music mm-hmm. are to be mm-hmm. elements of praise. So that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Just like just like when I first met my wife, Barbara, I serenaded her with a guitar, right? You know, I was standing outside playing that guitar, and she would look out the window, right? And one time I came without the guitar, and she closed the door, she closed the window. That's a joke, okay? Right. But are you with me? Some people like the instrument because the instrument gives them that extra click. But Christ is saying, try it without. Are you with me? Try. It's just like tea, drinking tea, right? The doctor would say, try it what? Without sugar. Are you with me? You know, sugar is good. It makes it taste real good, right? But something about sugar causes us, you know, to deteriorate faster, okay? And the doctor would say less sugar or saccharin or whatever, you know, so forth and so on. But that's very important, right? That when we listen to spiritual, just like if we're going home and we see it on the hear it on the radio, they got music behind it, right? They got music on behind Trouble in My Way, all of this. They got music behind it. It sounds good, right? But when it comes to worship, God is saying, right, kind of like, let's listen to the words instead of the piano. Are you with me? Let's listen to the words instead of the guitar. Let's listen to the words instead of the drums and whatnot.
I'm still agreeing with you 100% of what you're saying. I'm not contradicting you now whatsoever. Emphasizing also the same thing that you're saying. God don't want us to get caught up in the instruments and how we're doing it as opposed to what we are doing. Because some people, like I said, they go to church because, oh, I like the way they sang over here. I like the music that they have in this church. And they got a whole band up on it, on the stage or whatever they got. And that's what they're into. That music motivates them to come to church. They don't hear nothing of what the preacher says.
Exactly.
They don't understand none of what the words in the Bible say. All they come is because that music motivates them to move and jump up and down and do all other sort of stuff. And they think they have worship God in spirit and in truth.
I remember... I came from a Methodist background, and I remember in that church, boy, we used to have some good times. I was a little boy, you know, have some good times up in there. But that they had an organ, good time. Are you with me? But when that organ player wasn't there, it's just like, man, you know, I hope the preacher would hurry up, you know. But when that organ player was there. And we sung those songs and whatnot. Oh man, forget about it. You know, we was having a good old time up in there.
Well, and I mean, I came from a Catholic background, so the organ blasted loud and strong. So if you wanted to sing, you could sing. You could hear yourself sing, but if you wanted to sing, you could sing. So how is that if you're listening to the music, you're not singing the music. You're not worshiping God with the music because you're listening to the music and you're just enveloped in the instruments. I mean, you don't have to sing, right? If things are blasting from a stage or you got a choir, you have to sing.
And that's the key, choir.
You're not focused maybe on singing yourself. You're listening. So, is that praise to God?
And I'm glad you mentioned choir, right? Because, you know, that's another thing of syncretism, right? They bring in certain things, you know, bring in certain things, right? A choir, right? Now, I'm not saying that a lot of people shouldn't be up there. You know, I won't say that. Because if we're singing with them, go head on. But if you got them up there just singing and we're looking at them, right? You know, and we ain't saying nothing, right? Something wrong with that. How many orders of worship do we have? Order of worship. We have singing. We have praying. We have preaching. We have giving. We have communion. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, those five orders, called the orders of worship. Now, if, think about this, if I don't feel like taking the communion today, are you with me? Mm-hmm. Is that good? No. I just don't feel like it. Are you with me? I just don't feel, not that I feel like I have sinned or whatever and I need to, you know, not take it because mm-hmm. I've sinned, but I just downright don't feel like it. Not good. Giving. Are you with me? I'm not going to give today because I got to. Are you with me? I'm not going to give today because I got some bills I got to pay. Are you with me? I'm not gonna pray today because I'm just not in it. Right? Or I'm not going to sing today because I don't like the song Tom is leading. Are you with me? I don't like that song, so I ain't going to sing. Is it right?
No, you omitting part of the service. You are refusing to participate in the service.
Exactly.
Same thing as you're not going to come to church today because you can turn it on live feed on television and look at it, so why should I go?
Good point.
By the same token, you don't do it with your heart not being right. Mm-hmm. You need to go ahead. You need to stop. It includes the Lord's Supper. Don't partake of that unless your heart's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
You get your heart right.
Mm-hmm. As long as you examine yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And how you do that, you say, Lord, I have sinned. Right? I have sinned, Lord. It, within you, I have sinned, Lord. Forgive me. So I may partake of this emblem in your sight, and it will be right. You see, that's what we must do. But think about it now. Like I said, if I don't want to sing because I don't like the song, would it be right?
No.
It will not be right. Why? Because it's a part of the order of worship. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? And we must partake in all the parts of worship. You know, many times I've seen people, right? Not just here, but I've seen people not singing, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I don't sing because I don't know some of these songs. They're beautiful songs, but I just don't know them. But, you know, you go through a couple of verses, then you could, you know, make mm-hmm. melodies in your heart to the Lord. I'm still making melodies, right? But I got to get it. I got to get that tune, you know. Right. You know, and sometimes I just don't have it. I don't know, but I know that I must sing. I must sing. Are you with me? Because if I don't sing, I'll be out of order. I'll be out of order. I must sing. I must give if I got it to give. Mm-hmm. I must pray. Are you with me? I must commune. You know, I can't get around these things. Are you with me?
But that's a difference in being able to mm-hmm. and not being able to.
Yes, sir.
If you don't know the words, mm-hmm. you're not able to.
Right.
If you don't have the funds to participate, you're not able mm-hmm. to. But if you are able to mm-hmm. and you refuse, because we all have yes, a choice, just like he mm-hmm. gives us a choice of doing right and wrong, mm-hmm. we all have that choice that we can make.
Mm-hmm.
So you're
100%
right.
Mm-hmm. Of course, we are supposed to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We got to be true worshipers. That's the only people who could please God is what? True worshipers.
I just want to find out the answer to Charlotte's question.
Yeah, I mean, I know the question. I just want to know how to better answer someone when they, you know, ask us about music, you know, in the worship. And then I was looking at this last sentence mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. and I know everything that we do it in the glory of Him, mm-hmm. whether it's music playing an instrument, because He blessed you to know how to play an instrument. So if He blessed me to play this instrument, I want to bless Him by playing it for Him. You know, I understand it. But I always want to know how better to answer someone's question. Because they always got questions about why we don't do this, why we don't do that. You know, because we don't have all this unnecessary, you know, things going on. And I just always want to know how to better answer someone.
Okay, go to the third paragraph, and scroll down till you see musical instruments. Yes, ma'am. The third chapter.
Still in Galatians.
No. Page 37. Yes, ma'am. The third paragraph.
Where the Paul thought.
Okay. Go ahead. Just read the whole thing. Go ahead.
Paul thought passes on from individual piety to church life. He urges his readers to maintain the unity of the body, loving one another. As a body, they are to offer their thanksgiving to God. As a body, they are to praise him.
Okay, stop right there. Now, remember, we got to be unified in the Lord. Okay, we got to be unified, doing the same thing in the Lord.
Yeah! Way to go.
Unity, go ahead.
Finish reading?
Yes, ma'am.
One may praise God and song one alone, but an assembly is a quiet in order for believers to teach and to admonish one another.
Okay, so we sing to admonish one another. We sing to kind of like help out one another, you know, make it sound fuller, stronger. When we come together, it's more strength. It's more strength when we come together. It's just like if we're fighting, right? You know, if we out there fighting, it's better in numbers than to go by yourself sometimes, you know? And it's, you know, we're stronger. All right, go ahead. Read.
Voices and words teach. Mm-hmm. Neither the, what's that word? Aesthetics. Of music nor Christian teach. Oh, I missed the sentence. Okay. Hold up. Mm-hmm. Neither the what?
Aesthetic
of music nor its potential for emotional expressions are at the forefront of Paul's words. First, Christians teach and admonish. Musical instruments of many types were available in Paul's world. He made no mention of them. Christians are to sing for thanksgiving. Their music, as all other elements of praise, is to be under the banner of his name and for his praise and glory.
Under God. Whatever God tells us to do, that's how we got to do it. That's how we got to sing. Right? Like I said, it didn't say, do not, thou shalt not use instrumental music. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say to use it. He did say to sing and make a melody in our hearts. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what he said. That's what he said to do. So this is what the Church of Christ do. We sing and make melody in our hearts. Mm-hmm. We sing together. We sing together strongly. We want God to hear us. We want him to recognize that we appreciate what he's doing. We're thankful and we love him. Are you with me? We love him. That's what we want him to know and realize. But like I said, in the church there was many things going on, you know, creeping in, and one of the things that creep into the church was how we preach, you know, we preach a lukewarm preaching. Will do it every time. Are you with me? Because lukewarm preaching is you preaching, you know, what somebody want to hear. You're preaching because you don't want folks to leave. You're preaching because, you know, you want to be able to get along with people. Are you with me? Because if you preach the word and don't get along, you know, you're going to run folks away. Are you with me? What we have to study the Bible, so we can know and understand this. They left Jesus. Jesus was preaching to them. He was preaching. He was a hard saying. Jesus says, if you follow me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And when he said that, they didn't understand it. They said, that's a hard saying. And in his preaching, they just walked away. Jesus said, oh, wait. Yeah, please, don't come on back. I'm sorry I said that. Yes, he preached the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth is what we're going to need in the last days. Mm-hmm. Are you with me? You know, we could act up or whatever, you know, but if we haven't taught the truth, we ain't done what God told us to do. Okay. All right. Conclusion. Anybody? Sister, you better now?
Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Love you. All right. Conclusion. Anybody?
The church at Colossae was struggling for its life. The period when Paul lived saw the coming and going of countless types of philosophy and religion. There were those who picked a few items from one religion and then another. Syncretism is the technical word for the weaving together of religions of different sorts. When there is a syncretistic bend encountered Christians, they picked a few items from them too. They worked their way into the confidence of believers. Left unchallenged, the result would have been a confession of faith and way of life far removed from God. Christians in every age do well when they measure what their teachers tell them by the words of Christ and his apostles.
Please, when you leave this, when you heard what I said, go back over it. Because if I made a mistake and you come to me and prove it, right? Thank you, right? Thank you very much. And what it's saying here is that syncretism, you know, like I said, syncretism. They were bringing this in, that in, the other in, and coming in. But just like the teaching, like I said, lukewarm teaching is not good. And just like you have some churches, they teach this, right? They said, when you die, you're just gonna your soul is just gonna go into an animal. You'll come back as an animal. You probably won't. You heard that? You know, reincarnation of an animal. So any animal that you like, that's what you're going to come back as. Amen? Now, in the Bible, we don't see that. And that's a very important thing, you see. We have how many Bibles? One Bible. Are you with me? When I say we, you know, have one Bible, but you have several books. Are you with me? You know, that a lot of books that make sense with things, you know. If you read Confucius, right, a lot of things he say, right, make a lot of sense. You know, with your fortune cookies and whatnot. How many of you read your fortune cookies? Huh? You don't throw them things away. You just got to know what's in it, right? You know, I just got to know, right? If I get a fortune cookie, I ain't going to put it. It's something about it. I just got to know. And when I break it open, right, and you see Confucius, what he says, some of the things he says is right on. But when it comes to worship, Confucius is a Buddhist. Are you with me? And we are Christian. And what Colossians was doing is said, but Confucius says, you know so much, come and join us. Right? You know, and some of the people, if they want to be Buddhist, let them be. If they want to be Christian, let them be. Come on. Are you with me? You say, but that's not what God is telling us. Well, there's how many faith? One faith. One faith. You see, many people, you would hear people come to you and ask the question, what's your faith? Right? And you'd say, Christian. Well, I'm a Methodist. Or I'm a, right? And when you hear that, automatically you know what? They out of order. They don't know what they're saying. Are you with me? You ain't got to tell me, a big dummy. You ain't got to say that now. You know, don't do that, please, right? But listen to them, hear them. And if you listen and you hear folks, you would know where they went off the track, mm-hmm. how they got off. You listen. For those who have an ear, let them hear. The Bible says, be quick to what?
Yes.
Hear. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. Quick to hear. Hear. Yeah. And when you hear folks, you know, you know, if some, just like if somebody says stop, and I mean it, right? Oh, you don't mean that, girl. Come here. You know. You don't really mean it. I said stop. Right? You don't mean that. This is me. This is Big Daddy. You know? You know, this is me. Stop. Right? But some people just, you know, don't hear until that smack come in the face. Are you with me?
Some people need the smack in their face.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But what, just make sure, you know, either you can outrun that person or you're stronger than that person. Are you with me? You know. But anyway, I love you. I love you too, sister. I love you. But anyway, let's go to the, because we're about to close, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to the question here real quick. First question, who was a runaway slave who crossed paths with Paul while he was in prison?
Onesimus.
What was the hometown of this runaway slave?
Colossae.
Who was Paul's fellow worker who came to him with news of development of the church of Colossae?
Epaphras.
Okay.
Epaphras.
What two things are the subject of Paul's attention when he refers to Jesus as firstborn?
He was first born
of creation and he was firstborn of the dead.
Yeah.
Okay. Five. What instruments did God use in order to bring about the reconciliation between himself and human? The resurrection of Christ. Okay. What was the barrier between God and humankind before he brought about reconciliation? Sin. Okay. What conclusion can one draw about the manner of Christian baptism from Paul's reference in Colossians 2:12? Buried with him in baptism. Okay. Eight. What kind of heart did Paul want Christians to put on? Hearts of compassion. What does Paul say when? What does Paul say would be the result of Christians put on love? Be bond in perfect unity. I probably didn't read that, but I'm sorry. What elements of Christian worship does Paul say would be a source of teaching and admonition?
Singing
with our mouth unto the Lord. Amen. All right.